Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, July 5th, 2014. We'll start with a story titled Americans Celebrate Their Union, Rue Divisions, and this is written by the Associated Press, and there's a beautiful picture of U.S. flags around the Washington Monument, a sunrise Wednesday on Independence Day in Washington, D.C. Americans spent the day celebrating the nation's birthday. This is out of New York. With backyard barbecues and fireworks thundering across night skies, Americans are celebrating Independence Day by participating in time-honored traditions that express pride in their country's 242nd birthday. But this quintessential American holiday will also be marked with a sense of United States divided by some, evidenced by competing televised events in the nation's capital. From New York to California, the July 4th festivities will be at times lively and lighthearted with Macy's July 4th fireworks and Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest. The day's events will also be stately and traditional with parades lining streets across the country and the world's oldest commissioned warship firing a 21-gun salute to mark the 242nd years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. For some western states, however, the holiday will be a bit more muted as high wildfire danger forces communities to cancel fireworks displays. Here are other highlights of Wednesday's festivities. Oldest warship, the USS Constitution, has sailed in Boston Harbor and fired her guns again to mark Independence Day. The world's oldest commissioned warship, still afloat, left its berth at the Charlestown Navy Yard Wednesday morning. It glided through the harbor to mark 242 years since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. The ship, nicknamed Old Ironsides, traveled to Fort Independence on Castle Island to fire a 21-gun salute. The ship's commander saluted the crowds gathered there. A Navy sailor on board recited the Declaration of Independence during the cruise. An additional 17-gun salute was fired as the ship passed the U.S. Coast Guard station on its way back to the Charlestown Navy Yard. The station is the former site of the shipyard where the vessel was built in 1797. A historic parade. Crowds are lining the streets in Rhode Island town to see what's billed as the nation's oldest contentious 4th of July celebration. Begun in 1785, the Bristol Parade typically attracts about 100,000 people to the seaside town. This year's was a scorcher. Temperatures hovered near 90 degrees when the parade began late Wednesday morning, and some marchers were treated for heat exhaustion and taken off the route. Many officials marched in the parade, including Democratic Governor Gina Raimondo and the members of the state's congressional delegation. Dueling celebrations. The country's longest-running live national July 4th television tradition is PBS's broadcast of music and fireworks from the U.S. Capitol's West Lawn, but it's facing new counter-programming this year from the White House, which is hosting its own concert in view of the National Park Service's fireworks show. PBS, a Capitol 4th, has the bigger stars, including the Beach Boys, Jimmy Buffett, the Pentatonics, Cheetah Rivera, Luke Combs, and the Temptations. It will be hosted by John Stamos. The entertainers on the 90-minute White House event airing on the Hallmark Channel include singer-songwriter Sarah Evans, pianist Lola Estanova, and two former American Idol finalists. Both shows will include the fireworks display from the National Park Service. First Lady Melania Trump said in a statement that the White House show would show Americans to tune in from their homes and part of these festivities. PBS declined to comment. Lighting up the night skies. In New York, the Macy's fireworks show over the East River promises 25 minutes of sparkle and awe, plus the West Point Band and entertainers, including Kelly Clarkson, Ricky Martin, and Keith Urban on NBC's broadcast. but some places in the American West have canceled their planned 4th of July fireworks because of high wildfire danger, and others are doing drone light displays instead of pyrotechnics. In Colorado, the wildfire danger forced some communities to cancel their 4th of July fireworks. However, other shows will still go as planned in Denver, Colorado Springs, and Fort Collins. The small mountain town of Silverton in southwestern Colorado called off the fireworks part of its annual Independence Day party, but the rest of Wednesday's celebration is still on, including live music, a water fight with the firefighters. Aspen will have a fireproof drone light displayed above town. New Americans divided America. This was the first 4th of July that many people were able to call themselves U.S. citizens after participating in naturalization ceremonies across the country. In New Hampshire, more than 100 people from 48 countries became U.S. citizens during a ceremony at the Strawberry Bank Museum in Portsmouth as part of the museum's annual American celebration. A ceremony was also held aboard the USS New Jersey, where dozens of people from countries including Vietnam and Bangladesh were sworn in. Across the U.S., the new citizens pledged allegiance to a country where some people lament that the ability to debate respectfully the toughest issues of the day seems hopelessly lost. For Brad Messier, a chef in Portland, Maine, the holiday seems to illustrate the glaring divides that we have. He asked, how much does going and seeing fireworks really bring people together? But in rural Shelby County, Alabama, retired truck driver Floyd Champion said he views these are the best of times in America. I love the holiday because it's our independence, he said. Hot dog eating history. Defending champions Joey Jaws Chestnut and Mickey Sudo held onto their titles as the Nathan's famous July 4th hot dog eating contest. They each downed dozens of wieners and buns in front of thousands of spectators at the annual Seaside Affair at New York City's Coney Island. The 34-year-old Chestnut surpassed his previous record by two hot dogs, gobbling down 74 franks and buns in 10 minutes. He won the mustard belt and his 11th title. Sudo held onto her title as the top woman's competitor, chomping 37 franks and buns to take home the top prize for an unprecedented fifth consecutive year. Fireworks accidents. Two men died and five other people were injured after a large tree branch fell on spectators during a fireworks display in western Illinois late Tuesday. Rock Island County Sheriff's officials say dozens of people were sitting near the tree at the time. In Maryland, a 21-year-old man was hospitalized in catastrophic injuries to both hands after setting off fireworks at a large outdoor party where several attendees brought illegal fireworks, according to investigators. They say the man's injuries were not life-threatening. Okay, the next story is titled Money from Bucket Drop to Buy Wreaths, and this is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. Wreaths Across America isn't until December, but organizers are collecting money now in an effort to decorate as many veterans' grave sites as possible. The third annual bucket drop will be from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Friday and Saturday at various locations around Danville and Tilton. Teams of volunteers will be stationed at both Big R Stores, County Market in Tilton, and Walmart, and the intersections of North and Vermilion, Townway and Liberty, and Jackson and Winter. This is our main fundraiser for the year, so we're trying to get as many people to help and as many people to stop by and donate, said location coordinator Tammy Williams. Last year, the bucket drop, other fundraisers and donations brought in enough money to buy 5,900 wreaths, enough to cover half of the 11,000 grave sites of Danville National Cemetery. My goal is to do better than last year, Williams said, and she would be happy with 7,000 wreaths. Her long-term goal has always been to cover the cemetery with wreaths. This year, the Wreaths Across America ceremony will be December 15th at national cemeteries across the country. The wreaths are placed on veterans' graves to remember and honor them and also to teach young people about the sacrifices made by veterans. Williams's best friend is buried at Danville National Cemetery, and she's passionate about honoring his memory. I want those Gold Star families to know we remember their sacrifice, even during the Christmas season when their loss is felt the most. The wreath is a small token, but it reminds the family we are all thinking of them during the holidays, she said. The idea for the bucket drop came from John Pigg, a member of the Patriot Guard Riders, which has been heavily involved for the project. Danville has been very generous, Pigg said, referring to the last two fundraisers. Last year, Mayor Scott Eisenhower helped out as well. Any amount of money helps, he said, and everything is appreciated. Pigg said 100% of the money stays local, with all funds going to buy wreaths for the Danville National Cemetery. Raising money to buy fresh wreaths is a year-round project. At the upcoming Balloons Over Vermilion, the local Wreaths Across America group will have a tent set up along with other veterans groups. Also on July 28th, the group will collect money during a concert at the Black Bear in Hungry Hollow Road. This will mark the 27th year of the wreath laying tradition, originally started by Morrill Worcester and Worcester Wreath Company of Harrington, Maine. Last year, thousands of volunteers participated in laying wreaths covering the entire Arlington National Cemetery. Wreaths also were placed at more than 350 locations worldwide, including Danville National Cemetery. Last year was Danville's 11th year participating with this program. The cemetery serves veterans within a radius of 75 miles. FYI, volunteers are needed to collect money or to do other tasks for Wreaths Across America on Friday and Saturday. Call Tammy Williams at 516-2354 or email her at danvillewreaths@yahoo.com. To donate, go to www.wreathsacrossamerica.org and type in 61832 as the zip code so wreaths can go to the Danville National Cemetery, or you may call Williams. Each wreath is $15. The deadline to buy wreaths is November 23rd. The local Facebook page is www.facebook.com/coverDanvilleNationalCemetery. Okay, the next story is titled Regional Education Office Welcomes HEARD. And this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. The new Assistant Regional Superintendent of Schools will be familiar to many who are involved with school districts around Vermilion County. Potomac native Aaron HEARD, a graduate of Armstrong Township High School, joined the Vermilion County Regional Office of Education earlier this week. He fills the position vacated by Mark Janeski, who retired last week after a little more than 6 years with the office. HEARD's experience in education has been entirely in Vermilion County, starting with his student teaching assignment at Catlin Grade School that led him to teach and coach there for 7 years. He also was the principal of Oakwood Grade School for 3 years and most recent assistant superintendent of the Westville School District for 3 years. We're excited to have him join the Regional Office of Education team, Regional Superintendent of Schools Cheryl Riefsteck said. He brings a lot to the office and we're pleased to have him. HEARD said he will work hand in hand with the schools in Vermilion County and serve as a liaison between the local school districts and the Illinois State Board of Education. We also go out to the schools and check on the buildings to make sure they're good in working order, he said. In addition, the office orchestrates separate monthly meetings for administrators, high school principals, and grade school principals in Vermilion County. The administrators' meeting provide an opportunity for the Regional Office of Education to pass along to the school district chiefs any information from the State Board of Education. They talk about things going on in their schools, and they get to work together and collaborate, he said, of the countrywide meetings. HEARD said the biggest challenges facing Vermilion County school districts are finances, especially state aid reimbursements and how that money is distributed, and a serious teacher shortage. It's difficult for schools in central Illinois to make ends meet, he said, and there are not enough young people going into the teaching field to fill the vacancies. Education is changing, he said, adding that school school districts need to find ways to foster an interest in education so that local teens will go into the teaching profession. Hurd's job also entails being in charge of the annual Vermilion County Spelling Bee, sponsored by the Regional Office of Education, the Commercial News, and Danville Area Community College, which takes place every February at DACC. It'll be fun having direct contact with the kids again, he said. Hurd lives in Catlin with his wife, Amy, who is a nurse, and their three daughters, 10-year-old twins, Bracey and Brycey, and 6-year-old Madeline. Okay, now I'll run through some obituaries. Dorothy Tinsley, 72, of Danville, went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, June 24, 2018. Per her request, she will be cremated. Services are pending. Mildred Lorraine Diefendorfer Tate passed away on July 1st, 2018, at her residence at Carlisle Place in Macon, Georgia. Services will be at 11 a.m. EDT time Friday, July 6th, in the chapel of Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, Indiana, with the Reverend Drs. Donald and Ruth Tate officiating. Burial will be at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. She will be laid to rest between her father and husband. Rooks Funeral Home in Fort Valley, Georgia, and Shelby Funeral Home in Covington are in charge of the arrangements. Memorials may be sent in lieu of flowers to St. Andrew's Episcopal Church at 309 Central Avenue, Fort Valley, Georgia, 31030. Patricia Marie Pat Bowling, 77, of Vetersburg, passed away at 3:55 p.m. Monday, July 2nd, at Williamsport Nursing Home and Rehab in Williamsport, with her family by her side. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Friday, July 6th, at Sterling Christian Church, 701 South Sterling Avenue in Vetersburg, with Pastor Gary Johnson officiating. Visitation will also be at the church 5 to 8 p.m. Thursday, July 5th. Burial will be at Rockfield Cemetery. Memorials, contributions to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Thomas Dean Tom Weston, 74, of Williamsport, Indiana, passed away at 1:25 a.m. EDT time Monday, July 3rd, at Franciscan Health in Lafayette, Indiana. Visitation will be from 3 to 8 p.m. EDT time Sunday, July 8th, at West Lebanon Christian Church, with Masonic services at 8 p.m. EDT time. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. EDT time Monday, July 9th, at the church, with Minister Bruce Thornsboro officiating. Intermet will follow at the West Lebanon Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the West Lebanon Christian Church. Rosemary Rosie Reed, 87, of Hoopston, passed away at 11:35 p.m. Sunday, July 1st, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. A visitation will be held 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, July 5th, at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. The funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, July 6th, at the funeral home, with Reverend Roger Evans officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice. Ellen Williams, 61, of Tampa, Florida, originally from Danville, passed away peacefully at her home on Monday, June 25th. A celebration memorial service will be at 4 p.m. EST time Saturday, July 7th, at Sunset's Covington Chapel at 420 3rd Street, Covington, with Pastor Matt Feliski officiating. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday prior to her service at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Shamp, it's S-H-A-M-C, P.O. Box 1085, Safety Harbor, Florida, 34695. Heath Alexander Huffman Sander, 36, passed away Monday, July 2nd, at his residence in Napanee, Indiana. Funeral arrangements are visitation at Thompson, Lengacher, and Yoder Funeral Home in Napanee, Saturday, July 7th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Visitation at Diverter Funeral Home at 215 North Division Street in Cayuga, Sunday, July 8th, from 3 to 7 p.m. Burial will be at 10 a.m. Monday, July 9th at the National Cemetery in Danville with military rites. Okay, the next story is titled, Working Out PTSD. Day-long fundraiser helps vets stay healthy. And this is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. And there is a picture of Jenny Lou Merrill on the left and Julia Wilson hold photos of their sons, Marine Sergeant Aaron Merrill and Marine Tyler Lee Wilson, who suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome. An event Saturday will raise money to help veterans stay mentally and physically healthy. A three-part day-long event Saturday will raise money to help veterans stay mentally and physically healthy so they don't fall into self-destructive habits. The second Working Out PTSD fundraiser will feature classes for a $5 donation in the morning at True Grit Fitness in Tilton, a benefit ride for motorcycles and other vehicles starting at noon, and an evening of music, food, and silent auction starting at 6 p.m. at the American Legion Post 210. Last year's first Working Out PTSD fundraiser brought in $10,000, which amazed founders Jenny Lou Merrill and Julia Wilson. They hope to match or exceed that amount this year, with money going into a health and fitness fund for veterans. We were blown away, Wilson said. People were so generous and supportive. Working Out PTSD pays for gym memberships for qualified veterans and also has expanded to raise money to help veterans in other ways, such as buying service dogs. In the past year, the program paid for 30 veterans to join one of the participating gyms. A veteran does not need to have been diagnosed with PTSD in order to apply and doesn't need to have seen combat. He or she may choose which gym he would like to join. This must be a new membership. Working out helps veterans relieve their stress and helps them make connections with other people. The physical exercises serves as a possible preventative for veterans who haven't been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Some veterans could have a mild form of it, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and not realize it. In fact, Merrill and Wilson missed a sign that their Marine sons were struggling with PTSD. They stopped working out, something they were very passionate about. Marine Sergeant Aaron Merrill, 26, died July 4, 2015. He had served two tours in Afghanistan. Marine Tyler Lee Wilson, 29, died June 8, 2016. He had two tours with the Marines and one with the Department of Defense, all in Afghanistan. It's our mission and our passion, Wilson said, of their drive to help veterans. Exercise classes at 7, 8:30, and 10 a.m. Saturday. CrossFit classes will be offered at True Grit Fitness, 1606 Georgetown Road, for a $5 donation, with all money going to Working Out PTSD. You don't need to be a member to attend the classes, and the workouts will be geared to your abilities. The Heroes Workout of the Day will honor Tyler Wilson. Matt Steins, owner of True Grit and No Regrets Tattoos, said he and Wilson were friends. After his friend's suicide, when he found out about Working Out PTSD, he said, "I wanted to be a part of it. This is my way of giving back." Steins has seen the benefit of exercise in his own life. When he got his second DUI a couple years ago, he knew he had to get his life back on track and find a way to handle his problems without alcohol. "This is the only thing that truly works for my panic disorder," he said. He replaced alcohol with exercise, and it worked wonders for him. He later bought a gym so he could help others deal with stress. Stein especially sees changes in veterans who find a positive outlet for their stress and the difficulties of readjusting to civilian life. "This gym is my mission to get people better," he said. Benefit ride. The Merrill Wilson inaugural benefit ride for PTSD will start at noon on Saturday at the American Legion Post 210. Registration starts at 10 a.m. Cost is $25 per bike, jeep, or vehicle, and that includes one green t-shirt, two meal tickets, and two wristbands for door prizes. For $100, a person will receive two shirts, two meals, two bracelets, and a $130 detailing coupon donated by CarMac Car Capital. Danny Mullins and Matt Hall with the American Legion Riders came up with the idea. At first, the ride was for motorcycles, then a Jeep Club and Corvette Club asked to join. Now, the ride is open to any vehicle. The riders will stop at American Legions in Cayuga and Rockville, Indiana, and then Paris, Georgetown, and Danville. Tickets will be given at each stop for drawings of prizes. At the end of the ride, people must be present to win. A meal will be served at 6 p.m., including pulled pork, sandwich, smoked chicken, chips, and water. Can you believe how everybody is wanting to help us? Merrill said. People in the community have been wonderful and are willing to help and donate, Wilson said. Even donating money to have a service dog trained can help a veteran, she said. Evening event. The main working out PTSD event will start at 6 p.m. at the Legion, beginning with the pulled pork smoked chicken meal for $5. At 6:30 p.m., Sarah Nixon, suicide prevention coordinator at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, will talk about the programs that the VA offers to the veterans. Between 6 and 7 p.m., there will be a 50-50 raffle and a silent auction offering a variety of Harley-Davidson items, patriotic items, gift certificates, gift baskets, Longaberger baskets, and Coca-Cola products, fleece blankets representing the different branches of service and German beer steins. There will also be a live auction at some point in the evening. The Cornfield Mafia will play it from 7 to 11 p.m. Since working out PTSD has started last year, people have seen the benefit in helping veterans stay mentally and physically healthy. People love it, and they say what a great idea it is, Merrill said. People see the benefits in action. She added, at the end of the day, here's a little thank you for serving our country. FYI, learn more at the Facebook page, Working Out PTSD. Donations for silent auction may be dropped off at the American Legion Post 210, Jackson and Prospect, by noon on Friday. You may also send a message through the Facebook page or call Jenny Lou Merrill at 474-0047. You may donate money at www.gofundme.com/workingoutPTSD. Also, an account has been set up through the American Legion Post 210. Specify it's for Working Out PTSD. Drop off monetary donations or mail to 210 Prospect Place in Danville, Illinois, 61832. Learn more about PTSD at www.ptsd.va.gov. Well, just have a couple minutes left, so I'll just run through some community briefs. And in Danville, the Vintage Game Set, the Vermilion Vols Vintage Baseball Club will host the Rock Springs Ground Squirrels of Decatur and the Bloomington Normal Prairie Chickens in vintage baseball matches at 1 p.m. on Saturday at Kennecott County Park. The clubs will play by the rules and customs of the 1858 with replica uniforms and equipment in an area across from the Lake Mingo Boat Access parking lot. Follow the signs along the park's main road. Spectators are encouraged to bring lawn chairs and blankets for seating. Free admission. And in Hoopston, auditions scheduled for the Lorraine Theater Guild will conduct auditions from 7 to 8:30 on July 15th, 7 to 8:30 on July 16th, and the 15th and 16th, I'm sorry, July 18th for the upcoming stage play of Dracula at the Lorraine Theater at 324 East Main Street. There will be 7 male and 7 female roles. All roles require the actor to be 18 or older. Dracula will be performed on the 97-year-old Lorraine Stage Theater at 7 p.m. October 26th through the 27th. Scripts are available in advance at Hoopston Marathon, City Hall, Olympic Hardware, Anthem Chevrolet, First Financial Bank, First Farmers Bank, Iroquois Federal, and Hoopston Public Library. Online at www.thelorrainetheater.com or the evening of the audition. And a movie scheduled in Westville Library Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. The movie is an award-winning music-filled story of an orphaned, penniless, but ambitious young man and with a mind crammed with imagination and new ideas. So call the library at 267-317-0070 to reserve a seat. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, July 5th, 2018. I hope y'all had a good holiday. I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks, so somebody else will be taking my place, and hopefully I'll be back. And anyway, so I hope you have try to stay cool out there because it's pretty hot. Hope you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you in a few weeks. Thanks. Bye.